Z-Trim Appetite Control is perfect for taking the edge off hunger.
I lost 6 pounds the first week and never felt hungry.
I lost a full pant size.
I've lost 15 pounds in 2 months without dieting.
Without dieting.
You're hearing the success stories of people who have discovered Z-Trim Appetite Control. Developed by the USDA, all-natural Z-Trim helps you feel satisfied before you eat more than you should.
I can breeze through work without distracting hunger pains.
I don't have to exercise and I still eat the foods that I love.
Z-Trim Appetite Control is a healthy way to help manage your weight regardless of diet or exercise.
I simply take 2 capsules before each meal.
Z-Trim Appetite Control is fantastic.
For people who need to manage their weight with limited physical activity, Z-Trim provides a naturally healthy option.
To order Z-Trim Appetite Control capsules made with USDA-developed Z-Trim, go to ztrim.com. That's ztrim.com. And enter the code word NATURAL for a 10% listener discount. Or call 1-877-MY-Z-Trim. The only thing you have to lose is weight.
Good evening, True Seekers. Malloy here on Nova M Radio. Thanks for joining us this evening. It's about 7 past the hour. Alberto Torquemada Gonzalez testified before the Senate Judiciary Committee today as scheduled, and he made it clear that there is no judicial oversight allowed on the judicial branch, or I'm sorry, on the executive branch of government. Judges and attorneys either agree with the Bush crime family or they get replaced by someone who does. Kind of like the way Bush runs the military. Either the generals agree or they get replaced. Either the judges agree or they get replaced. The other thing that was incredibly odd about these hearings today, no television network, C-SPAN, 1, 2, or 3, nothing. Nobody carried it. Now, the only way you could see it is to sit in front of your PC all day, and if you had the ability to sit there for 7 or 8 hours and watch this, then you could see some of the most incredible testimony that I think any attorney general of the United States has ever given before a congressional committee, Senate or House. And I couldn't help but think today, back in 98, when Bill Clinton was being accused of committing perjury about his afternoon liaisons with Monica Lewinsky, television couldn't get enough of it. You couldn't escape. Blanket, wall-to-wall coverage, 24/7, about a president who in a manner of speaking, and I'm not trying to hedge here, but there's a reason I put it this way, in a manner of speaking, was cheating on his wife. Wall-to-wall coverage, couldn't get away. Everything else took a backseat. There was no other news. And here's a president who is out of control, who is violating his oath, who has committed impeachable offense after impeachable offense. And this filthy media in this country does not carry a critical hearing. The chief law enforcement officer of the United States, the man who wrote the memos that gave Bush permission and Cheney and Rumsfeld to order torture, is testifying before the Senate, answering some pretty tough questions from Democrats and Republicans, and this disgusting, contemptible, filth-ridden media chooses not to carry it. Christ. Now, we've had several callers over the past few days say, well, the part of the fault that we are so ignorant is because media gives us no information. Part of the reason that we don't put 10 million people in the streets is because media won't cover it. And while I agree with that, I say that it's just that's a lousy excuse for me, for you, for anybody. It really is. Whether media covers it or not, the word does get out. It has to get out. But it's appalling. It's shocking. It's a total abdication of their responsibilities. The so-called Fourth Estate is no longer that. It is nothing. It is nothing. It is crap. It is garbage and junk. And most of us know this. I mean, I realize I'm sitting here saying, hey, guess what I discovered today? Water's wet. No. I'm just kind of reiterating it, underlining it, putting exclamation points behind it. We talk a lot about how television in this country is designed to make us forget or put us to sleep or divert our attention. This is horrifying. This is just appalling. Television is working in conjunction with the Republicans and the Nazis in this country, the fascists, to end our republic, period. There is no question about it. No question about it. What did I read in the Times today? 38 million people tuned in to the season's premiere of American Idol. 38 million people. Jesus Christ, this is a sick country. This is a sick, sick, sick country. And how many would have tuned in had C-SPAN 1, 2, or 3, or Fox, or NBC, ABC, CBS, or CNN, or MSNBC, or any of them? How many Americans would have tuned in to these hearings today to watch Gonzalez? And don't say to me, well, Mike, come on, it's a big difference. Fox News, or Fox American Idol's on for an hour. Yeah, you know, this crap went on all day. We all know he's a criminal and a thug. Oh, it really gets frustrating, doesn't it, True Seeker? I mean, how do you go from sunup to sundown? Sometimes I wonder how I do. We're going to start right after this first break with some of the audio from today. Yes, we do have audio, and we're going to play it for you because we know damn good and well you didn't hear any audio today. You may have gotten 8 or 9 seconds on one of the network news programs. But first, an email here from John in Missouri. This is about Bill O'Reilly and this kid that was kidnapped and held by the child molester for 4 years. John writes, "Dear Mike, I'm sure you've already probably heard this, but I was watching the only true patriotic American television journalist, Keith Olbermann, and he ran a story and played the clips of Bill O'Reilly blaming the young boy who was held for 4 years in the abduction case here in Missouri, where I reside. O'Reilly is actually sick enough to say the boy stayed with his kidnapper because he was having more, quote, fun, end quote, there than he did at home. Today, the young man and his parents were on Oprah, and the parents said they believe he was sexually molested during those years in captivity. As a parent of a small boy and a resident of the state of Missouri, I can only hope and pray that karma catches up with this right-wing media whore, Bill O'Reilly, and he is put in prison and raped on a daily basis. Then he can report from prison on how much more fun that is than being free to spread his filth, hate, and lies on his pathetic propaganda program." John, Missouri. Well, John, I hear what you're saying. There's not a whole lot I can do, to any of us can do, to immunize ourselves from the garbage that's thrown at us, except not be exposed to it. I will kill myself before I watch an O'Reilly program. I think O'Reilly is scum and filth, but he is no different from Hannity or Limbaugh or this radio team out in California that got some woman to drink herself to death, water, and she died, and they're making fun of her because she's calling in. She's obviously about to die. It's just Christ Almighty. But as far as O'Reilly is concerned, he's obviously a disturbed man. And Fox News loves disturbed people. John Gibson, O'Reilly, Hannity, and Hannity's hand puppet, Combs. And the rest of these people, these are truly disturbed people. They are doing more damage to this republic than an invading army. They're rats, cockroaches, termites, all of these Fox people, and a huge bunch of them on the networks and CNN and MSNBC, the other cable. But Fox especially, they have one thing in mind, to make as much money as they can, to destroy this republic, to laugh at the rest of us, while they spread their filth. I don't know, John, you know, the only thing I can suggest is you just don't expose yourself to it. Because it will make you sick. It'll make you sick in your soul. Sick in your spirit. Sick in your head. Hannity and O'Reilly and Limbaugh and the rest of these people truly, truly should be thrown out of the country. They are a threat to America unlike any that we have ever experienced in the history of this country. There's never been a threat to what we are supposed to be about that is equal to or greater than what these people on radio and television represent. There just never has been. Never. Never. You couldn't make this stuff up. These are enemies, just absolute enemies of freedom and democracy and representative government.
Come on, come on. If you know it ain't over till God says that it's over, come on, come on, come on, let's go.
And now, the man conservatives love to hate, it's Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour. Also, ABC News is reporting, this is from an interview that will be on tomorrow morning on Good Morning America. It'll be on from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Diane Sawyer will be interviewing House Speaker Nancy Pelosi. And in the interview, Pelosi says she will not block Iraq funding to stop the troop surge. Won't do it. ABC says there may be a growing battle between Congress and the president over the Iraq war strategy, but new House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says she won't block funding for additional troops. Pelosi's position, revealed in an exclusive interview with ABC News' Diane Sawyer, came a day after a group of senators announced a bipartisan resolution condemning the Bush administration's plan to increase U.S. forces in Iraq by 20,000 troops. While the Senate resolution would be non-binding, it would send a message to the president. At least a dozen Republican senators have already offered their support. But not Pelosi. Here's an excerpt. Sawyer. As we sit here right now, 3,500 troops are moving in. That's the first of the surge. It has begun. 51% of the American people say they want Congress to stop the surge. Money is the method at hand to do that. Are you going to move to cut off funding for troops going into Iraq as part of the surge? Pelosi. Democrats will never cut off funding for our troops when they're in harm's way. It is, I think, very difficult for the president to sustain a war of this magnitude without the support of the American people and without the support of the Congress of the United States. That's why Congress will vote to oppose the president's escalation from the standpoint of policy. We will have our disagreement. Sawyer. But short of that, questions posed, resolutions passed, short of that, are you acquiescing in the surge if the pocketbook is the only other control mechanism? Pelosi. The president knows that because the troops are in harm's way, that we won't cut off the resources. That's why he's moving so quickly to put them in harm's way. But we will hold the president accountable. He has to answer for his war. Ah, for Christ's sake. Astonishing. Pelosi says, Democrats will never cut off funding for our troops when they're in harm's way. Nancy, they're not in harm's way right now. They're in the United States, or they're in Kuwait. I'll be goddamned. I knew it. Didn't you? Didn't you know it? Huh? Didn't you know this is what was going to happen? Didn't you know it? So there are the senators, Democratic senators, letting it all hang out, so to speak, going on the record, Republican senators, and Nancy Pelosi says this. Well, the Republicans are just chortling in their tea tonight, or their Manhattan tea, their Texas tea, whatever the hell they drink, Republicans, their glasses of blood. They're laughing their asses off. Because with this statement, is Pelosi not saying that she is just like, oh, I don't know, Senator Mitch McConnell? Is she not saying that she's a war whore herself? Is she not? I'm serious. I'm serious. I'm asking. This was a fear that a lot of people had. First, impeachment is off the table. And now, a cutoff of, not a cutoff of funds for troops already there, but a cutoff for the troops that are not there. She won't even do that. That takes a second to sink in. That takes a second to think in, to sink in. Nancy Pelosi says that she is going to go along with George Bush. Oh, but we're going to hold him accountable. What does that mean? What does that mean? Are they going to? They're not going to impeach him. That's the only way you can hold a president accountable. So Nancy Pelosi turns out to be a liar and a coward, and as useless as Newt Gingrich. I'll be damned. I'll be damned. I don't know. At this point, I'm not sure what to say. Somebody just sent me that. Now, for let me digress for just a second. I've had a couple of people say, "Well, what is the video link online to watch hearings?" The link is judiciary.senate.gov/hearing. But it's only that link is only active when there's something going on. It's judiciary.senate.gov/hearing.cfm. And then there's ID numbers, you know, depending on the hearing. But all you need, I guess, is judiciary.senate.gov/hearing. And if there's something going on, you'll get to it. I guess you'll get to it. Nancy, we'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. There will come a day when you're faced with your maker, and now and you can take it no matter what they say. And be glad that you are good, cause some don't do so well. When the knives are over and the dough is done, then the people that are going to hell. When the knives are over and the dough is done, then the people that are going to hell. When the knives are over and the dough is done, then the people.
Feeling left out by right-wing talk radio? You found a home with Mike Malloy.
Twenty-six before the hour. I have to tell you, I'm kind of in shock right now with Nancy Pelosi's statement that essentially she is going to back George Bush in increasing the murder rate and the death rate, destruction in the Middle East, in Iran, Iraq. I find this a little bit difficult to deal with. Tomorrow night on the program, we're going to be joined by Will Pitt, Will Rivers Pitt, good friend of ours and a friend of a lot of people, for example, Democratic Underground. He's got a new book that is, I think it's out now, a collection of some of the things he's written. We haven't talked with Will for a long, long time, but he'll be on the program tomorrow night at 9:30 Eastern. So tune in. We'll wind up. It's too bad we're not, you know, in a bar together, because we'd wind up, well, he drinks scotch, but we would wind up drinking a whole lot of scotch and bourbon and, you know, getting smashed, smash-faced, like we did one time in Washington, D.C. Oh, God. But we can't do that, you know. I don't know where Will will be. I'll be here in the belly of the beast in Atlanta, Georgia, and Will will be someplace, and we will chat tomorrow night. And I know a lot of you know Will Pitt. His writing's at Truth Out. His writing is, you can find it all over the place. All right, I want you to hear some of these actualities from today, from the Senate Judiciary Committee. Arlen Specter, former chairman and now the ranking member, asked Gonzalez some questions about how the Bush crime family considers the CIA has authority to peep into the bank records of American citizens. If these people are suspected terrorists, why wouldn't this operation fall under the FBI or even the Justice Department? Why the CIA or the Department of Defense? And this bastard Gonzalez doesn't have an answer, and it seems you can place Arlen Specter in the growing list of Republican members of Congress who challenge King George's dictatorship.
There is a very basic distinction between the role of the FBI and the CIA. And that is that the CIA is overseas and the FBI has exclusive jurisdiction over domestic investigations. On that fundamental point, Attorney General Gonzalez, isn't that distinction correct?
Senator, I don't recall what the story said about the CIA's involvement.
Answer my question as to whether it is correct. Well, then I, again, am at a loss to see what the CIA is doing on domestic investigation.
Now, you'll hear Gonzalez a lot on these sound bites we have, pleading ignorance. This smarmy bastard, we watched him a bit. We watched the video feed of Gonzalez, and he really does sit there with a smirk on his face and an utter refusal to answer questions. It's incredible. This is the face of fascism. This guy, not Cheney. Cheney is the face of a goddamn killer, but this is the face of fascism, Alberto Gonzalez. Next up is Senator Ted Kennedy. Kennedy cites the constitutional provisions that grant Congress the power to declare war. And then he gets into the subject of the ongoing slaughter in Iraq, saying that he's introducing legislation to stop Raisin Brain from increasing the number of troops committed to Iraq without congressional approval. So he asked Torture Boy, what is the president's opinion where it concerns Congress's role in foreign policy decisions? And Gonzalez, once again, doesn't feel confident that he can answer that question.
Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution clearly gives Congress the extensive power over war. James Madison wrote, "The Constitution supposes what the history of all governments demonstrate, that the executive is the branch of power most interested in war and most prone to it. It has accordingly, with studied care, vested the question of war in the legislative branch." So I have a letter here, which I'll share with you, and I'll ask that it be included in the record, from leading constitutional scholars confirming that Congress has this authority. They say Congress may limit the scope of the present Iraq war by either of two mechanisms. First, it may directly define limits on the scope of that war, such as by imposing geographic restrictions or a ceiling on the number of troops assigned to that conflict. Second, it may achieve the same objective by enacting appropriations restrictions that limit the use of appropriated funds. Now, my question, General, do you accept that the Congress does have the authority to prevent the president from increasing troop levels in Iraq in the manner I've described?
Senator, I don't know if I'm prepared to answer that question.
You see? You see how this goes? Kennedy then stated that Bush needed congressional authorization before he invaded Iran, as he's hinted he might do, of course. Gonzalez tries to get all cagey with the language and dances around the answer. Kennedy concludes that it is distressing that the Bush crime family feels like it might not need approval before invading Iran.
I believe that the president needs to have congressional authorization if he is going to invade Iran. What is your position on that? Do you agree with me?
I'm not aware of any plans to invade Iran.
Not asking whether it is. He's planning to. If he were to invade Iran, would he? I believe that he would have to come to the Congress for authorization.
Senator, for example, if there were an attack by Iran, I think the president would have constitutional authority to defend this country. And so there may be circumstances where I'm not sure that that would necessarily be true. It would depend on a lot of circumstances and factors that we'd have to look at.
Well, I think this is distressing and disturbing to leave out there that somehow there are the circumstances where you think that on the invasion of Iran would not require an authorization.
Distressing and disturbing? Senator, you find it distressing and disturbing? That smarmy son of a bitch sitting in front of you didn't answer your question, Senator Kennedy. You see how this is going, Truth Seeker? Next up, Senator Dianne Feinstein talks about the number of U.S. attorneys that Gonzalez has asked to resign and why they've been asked to resign. Gonzalez astonishingly tries to claim that forcing these resignations is a sign of good management. This is Newspeak.
How many United States attorneys have been asked to resign in the past year?
Senator, you know, you're asking me to get into a public discussion about personnel.
No, I'm just asking you to give me a number. That's all.
You know, I don't know the answer.
Give me a number.
I don't know the answer to that question, but we have been very forthcoming.
You didn't know it on Tuesday.
Jesus
when I spoke
Christ.
With you. You said you would find out and tell me.
I'm not sure I said that, but
yes, you did, Mr. Attorney General.
Well, if that's what I said, then that's what I will do. Let me just say,
you deny that you have asked, your office has asked United States attorneys to resign.
Senator,
in the past year?
That
yes
happened.
Or no?
Yes. No, I don't deny that. What I'm saying is, but that happens during every administration, during different periods for different reasons. And so the fact that that's happened, quite frankly, some people should view that as a sign of good management.
Oh, Christ. Are you getting this? This is the voice of fascism. This is how it works. This is how it works. Bush has his war. He is surrounded by Nazis like this guy, who enable him to do anything he wants to do. They tell him it's okay. They tell him he's protected. And then they tell the Congress, you have no authority to stop anything. And then they tell the judiciary, you have no authority to stop anything. Do you understand this, Truth Seeker? Do you understand what's happening in our country? Do you? Okay, here's Senator Russ Feingold about the FISA court reversal, which seemed like it was very sudden, right? So why does Bush now believe he needs to follow the law? What changed? And why did they circumvent the court for years before concluding that they were violating the law? Is it only because the New York Times was exposing their illegal wiretapping? Gonzalez said it took a long time before they could determine that FISA would or would not approve of their wiretapping.
It is a welcome change to learn that the president, with regard to the NSA program, has decided to return to the law. For more than 5 years, this administration conducted an illegal wiretapping program, including more than a year during which you and others publicly asserted that this violation of the law was absolutely essential to protecting the public from terrorists. And as Senator Kennedy already mentioned, you actually questioned the patriotism of those who criticized you. But the president has been forced to return to the law. And based on your announcement yesterday, this illegal program has been terminated. Now, that is a stunning and, I would say, long overdue change of direction. Why did you decide to seek FISA court authorization in the spring of 2005 and not earlier? Did this relate in any way to the administration learning that the New York Times was looking into the program?
No, not at all.
Why didn't you seek the authorization earlier?
Senator, we certainly would not have been prepared, be in a position to make any kind of application. I must tell you, and I want to go back and think about this in terms of, I'm fairly certain, but again, I'm under oath, so I want to be careful how I say this. It took us a period of time to work on it, to develop the legal strategy, the legal analysis, and it took some time for a judge to get comfortable. It wasn't as easy as you.
Mr. Chairman, I recognize that, but the idea that you did it before you had the court's approval is the startling part.
Jesus Christ. What you are listening to, that's the sound of hammering coffin nails. That's what you're hearing. nails being driven into the coffin that contains what remains of democracy, the rule of law in this country. This is astonishing. This Gonzalez is truly unbelievable. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy.
And they say the Midwest is in great distress, and NASA blew up the moon. The ozone layer has no ozone anymore, and you're gonna leave me for the guy next door. I'm sick of you. I'm sick of you. They arrested the mayor for an illegal favor, sold the Empire State to Japan. And Oliver North married William C. Corden, gave birth to a little Tehran. And the Ayatollah aboard a nuclear warship, if he dies, he wants to go out in style. And there's nothing to eat that don't carry the stink of some ways dumped in the Nile. But one thing is certainly true, no one here knows what to do.
Got the flying monkey right blues? Here's the cure, Mike Malloy.
It's about 9 before the hour. Yeah, I got an email from Sharon about what Mirtha thinks of Pelosi's stance on going along with Bush to fund the additional 22,000 troops. I have to tell you, I'm having a hard time with this. Senator Charles Grassley continues questions about the Bush crime family's flip-flop on FISA. He wants to know, does Gonzalez finally agree that FISA courts are necessary before wiretapping Americans? It looks like the Bush crime family feels it could go back and reinstitute the illegal wiretapping whenever they want to, if they deem the FISA court reluctant to approve their illegal activities. That's not good.
Do you now believe that FISA court approval is legally required for such wiretapping, or do you continue to believe that court approval is merely voluntary? You indicated the latter before. If that's the case, isn't it true that you could turn this on and off at will? If in a month the FISA court didn't do what you wanted, you could go right back to the old system. Just
Senator,
please answer yes or no.
My belief is that the actions taken by the administration, by this president, were lawful. In the past.
Okay.
But moving forward, our electronic surveillance collection
right.
is going to be undefined.
All I would admit here, sir, is that at will, just as at will you instituted this program, since you don't believe you're legally bound, you could turn it off, particularly if you got a decision that you didn't want. I, for one, can't feel very relieved knowing that the administration's view is they can go back and reinstitute the old program on a whim.
On a whim. This is pretty astonishing stuff, don't you think? Now, the new chairman of the Judiciary Committee, Senator Leahy, asked Gonzalez about Bush's illegal opening of the first class mail of U.S. citizens and questions Bush's little publicized signing statement to the Postal Reorganization Act that grants Bush the right to read the mail of American citizens anytime he wants to, for any reason and no reason. Listen to this exchange.
I was deeply disturbed by the president's recent signing statement for the Postal Accountability and Enhancement Act. It suggests that the Bush administration is opening Americans' mail without first obtaining a warrant. Does the president believe he has the inherent constitutional authority to open Americans' mail without a warrant?
Sir, then, now you're asking me to get into an analysis, quite frankly, that the department has not done.
Do you think the president has authority under AUMF, notwithstanding the requirements of the FISA statute?
Senator, I'm not prepared to answer that question. I think for purposes of today's hearing, I think it's important for everyone to know that as far as I know, there is no ongoing physical searches of mail under the authorization.
There hasn't been?
And there, to my knowledge, there hasn't been any kind of authorization.
Would you know if there was?
I suspect that I would know, sir. Yes, sir.
Can can you understand a certain skepticism up here? It's done late in the week on something that actually it's a postal reorganization, has nothing to do with FISA. It in no way goes into FISA, no way adds to or undercuts FISA. And then we see one of these signing statements that late in the day kind of slipped out. In fact, most people didn't find out about it. So about a week later, saying, oh, and by the way, I have the authority, just open your mail. Do you understand why we might be just a tad concerned?
Senator, from our perspective, there was a possibility of misconstruing the statute in a way that would take away from the president existing authorities that the Congress had given under other statutes, and the president simply wanted to preserve the authorities that Congress had already granted to him.
Oh, Jesus, God. This is amazing stuff, isn't it? Now, we have two more from Pat Leahy. And, yeah, we have the quote where he starts shouting at Torquemada. So we're going to play that for you. We'll play both of these when we come back after the break. But what is astonishing about all this is the death of the U.S. Constitution. Really, I'm not trying to be melodramatic. Either you agree with that or you don't, that the Constitution has been murdered by a small group of individuals. Starting with five Supreme Court justices on December 12th, 2000, and up to today with this filthy piece of human waste testifying before the committee, this attorney general and his predecessor, and Cheney, and all of them, the establishment of torture, the misuse of our troops, of our military. So, a lot of people in a historical sense say, well, what were the German people doing in the 30s? I mean, did they just all hate the Jews so much that they decided to let Hitler come to power? What were the German people doing? And I have the same question, and I know a lot of people do. What are the American people doing? What are we doing? Don't answer. Because, like me, you will be embarrassed by the answer to that question. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. Welcome back. It's about 7 past the hour. All right, back to the judiciary hearings today. And we are still with the chairman, Patrick Leahy, questioning the slimy bastard, Gonzalez. Leahy then asked him why the Department of Defense is looking into bank records of U.S. citizens. And if it's necessary to do that, why isn't the FBI or Gonzalez's own Justice Department doing that? Gonzalez says he doesn't know if the reports are true or not.
Why in heaven's name do we have the Department of Defense and CIA spying on Americans? I mean, isn't this something, if we're going to be doing that, if we're going to be doing it legally, it should be done through your department, not through... I mean, we've always tried to keep the Department of Defense and the CIA outside our borders and not delving into the Americans, especially since COINTELPRO and things like that, into Americans' lives. Why are they doing it? Why hasn't the Department of Justice said, if there's a need for this, we'll do it?
Senator, I don't know. It's a DOD activity, which is appears to be permitted by, there are at least five NSL statutes. And so whether or not this is a grand expansion, I think perhaps it's an incorrect characterization. There has been authority provided by the Congress for certain law enforcement agents and certain agencies to engage in the collection of these kinds of business records. And that's what we're talking about here, business records in the hands of third parties. So there is no constitutional issue here per se.
But it's always been the law enforcement, has been the FBI. Law enforcement officials have done that, or those normally involved in law enforcement. All of a sudden we have the CIA and the Department of Defense going into internal American matters. Doesn't this trouble you?
The story is, if true, of course, would be very troubling.
Are they true?
Well, sir, I don't know if they're true or not.
Why
I don't believe
asked?
That they're true.
Oh, God.
But something that...
Oh, God. Okay. Last one tonight. They finally get around to talking a little bit about torture. Just a tad. You know, the senators on the panel don't want to do anything to really piss off members of the Bush crime family. Like providing names and times and dates and the sorts of tortures being used. So Leahy asks this slimy bastard sitting in front of him about the Bush crime family using rendition of innocent civilians to send them to be tortured in other countries, like Syria. And they're talking about Mr. Arar, the Canadian citizen. Torture boy here gets a little bit flustered, and then he just won't answer the question.
Well, something that made the news here in the United States was the question of Mahar Arar. He's a Canadian citizen. He was returning home from a vacation, plane stops at JFK in New York and continues on to Canada. He was detained, wasn't sent on the couple hundred miles to Canada and turned over to the Canadian authorities, but he was sent thousands of miles away to Syria. He was held for 10 months. The Canadian Commission later found that there was no evidence to support he had any terrorist connection or posed any threat, but that he was tortured in Syria. Why was he sent to Syria instead of Canada?
I'm just not at liberty at this time.
Let me ask you this. Why aren't you at liberty? I don't understand that. It's not a matter of executive privilege.
No, sir, again. And I'm not suggesting that I will not be able to answer your questions. I'm just suggesting I can't do it today.
Why? Can you tell me whether you took steps to ensure that he wouldn't be tortured?
There is not a position. I can't represent the position of the executive branch on this particular issue. But I think in a relatively short period of time, there's more information that I should be able to share with you.
Attorney General, we knew damn well if he went to Canada, he wouldn't be tortured. He'd be held. He'd be investigated. We also knew damn well if he went to Syria, he'd be tortured. And it's beneath the dignity of this country, a country that has always been a beacon of human rights, to send somebody to another country to be tortured. You know, and I know, that has happened a number of times in the past 5 years by this country.
Oh, Christ. Like I say, I don't know how to respond to a lot of this. Somebody wants to ask me why I'm upset about water? Put this guy on. What's your name, sir?
My name's Mike.
And what do you want to ask me?
Yeah, Mike. I wanted to ask you about waterboarding. At the very beginning of your show, I'm listening on satellite radio, and I had it delayed. You said something about torture, and I wanted to talk specifically about waterboarding.
Do you know anything about it?
I do.
All right. How does it work?
From what I understand, you are put onto a board that is inverted into a 45-degree angle, approximately, where your feet are higher than your head, and it works with sensory deprivation. You have the illusion that you're...
In other words, you don't have a goddamn clue as to how it works.
Wow.
Get him off of here. Get this ass
hey,
off.
Wait,
get
no,
him
on.
Off. Get him off. Get him off. Get rid of this freak. No, I'm not going to give him more than 10 seconds of airtime. He's going to try to tell me about waterboarding. Doesn't have a clue as to how it works. He was going to defend waterboarding. You sick bastard. I bet he's a Christian, too. What do you want to bet he goes to church on Sundays, huh? You know damn good and well he's a Republican. Man. This testimony today by Gonzalez. I don't think I've ever seen anything like that. You heard him on the last one there, where Leahy is asking him about the rendition of Mr. Arar, who did nothing, absolutely nothing. When he's this story was a monster story. It's probably one of the most monster stories of the 21st century. The United States intercepts a man traveling. He's a Canadian citizen. Just happens to have to land in New York. He's done nothing. But he's a Muslim. So he is snatched by these filthy sons of bitches who now represent law enforcement on the federal level in the United States. And as Leahy said, do they send him to Canada if they have some doubts about what he's about? No, they send him to Syria. Part of the axis of evil, isn't it? Isn't that part of the new axis of evil? Because they know he'll be tortured. Do you understand what has happened to this country, Truth Seeker? Do you understand that? This is now a matter of U.S. policy. Do you understand why the rest of the world hates us? If they have any sense, they hate us. Because we have become the single most dangerous country on earth. And it's because of the people who are illegally in control of this country as a result of a judicial coup on December 12th, 2000. Now, I ask it almost every night, and I ask again tonight, what are you going to do about it? I ask that, in fairness, I ask myself that question every single night. And I haven't come up with an answer for me yet. So I'm tossing it out primarily rhetorically because, I don't know. I don't know what to do. Do you? Do you have any ideas what to do? Oh, I know it's easy to scream revolution. It's easy to quote Jefferson about the Tree of Liberty. It's easy to talk about general strikes. It's easy to talk about massive demonstrations. What did I say the other night? If we could just get 20 million people in the streets. But seriously. What are you going to do about it? Do you ask yourself that question? I ask myself that question every single night. I'm just curious. I just wonder if you do.
Got a monkey on your back. Just one more fix, Lord, might do the trick. One hell of a price for you to get your kid.
Mike Malloy Show, you are now entering a flying monkey free zone.
It's 21 past the hour. There is something you should read at Sarge's website, unreportednews.net. It's an article written by the Iraq specialist Leonard Clark. He's an Iraq veteran. We talked to him the other night. And I was just at that website. You need to go look at it, unreportednews.net. When you get the page, scroll down, and you'll get the link to the article by Leonard Clark. Just go there and read it, okay? And there's a couple other things there that that you need to take a look at. Unreportednews.net. And the first one I think you should read is one by the Iraq veteran Leonard Clark. Okay? Do that. Just do it. Okay? Ah, man. All right, let's do some phone calls here. Deborah is calling from Baltimore. Hey, Deborah.
Hey, Mike. Well, wow. I know you're disappointed with Pelosi and all that, but this hits home in a lot of ways. I've been a liberal, Democrat, independent, I tend to shift towards independence at this point. And I think what a lot of people have a hard time kind of wrapping their heads around is realizing that both parties are essentially controlled by the same corporations, the same lobbyists as the other, and that you're given a false choice. You're given this left-right paradigm, so there is a constant fighting between left-right, and it keeps the focus off of the criminals that we've put in charge of this country, whether they're senators or Congress critters or, the president. And I think this has been going on for at least 40 years. It's been a gradual buildup, but here we are. And you have now several states trying to pass legislation that basically bars any third or fourth or fifth party from getting on the ballot.
Uh-huh.
And it's not just a matter of financing. It's a matter of, being able to have airtime, whether it's radio, television, and the only outlet we have left or any of us have left is the Internet. And thank God for that, because that enabled me to still listen to you or to at least get your archives when you were suddenly gone from Hair America, and thank God you're back on. And, and you say and you ask yourself, well, what do you do on a daily basis? What can I do to change this? Well, we all become an army of one, but we're all, at least those who I think listen to your show along with a lot of other progressive talk shows, are together on this in that you go out, and I make it a point that at least 5 to 10 people a day, I wake up. And once you've awoken them, whether they wanted to be awakened or not, you can't unknow what you've just been told. In other words, you've planted that seed, and whether they'll fight you tooth and nail about what you just said, you've planted that seed in them that, why don't you step back from what CNN is telling you? Why don't you get on the Internet, and why don't you go look and hear other opinions, other sources of information, as opposed to mainstream media in this country? And you explain to them that mainstream media in this country is controlled by 5 corporations who are directly involved with a military-industrial complex.
Well, I'm glad you have that experience, Deborah. And I'm not trying to be cute with you. I really am. I don't have that kind of experience. Maybe it's because I approach people the wrong way. Maybe you do it right and I do it wrong. But anytime I have tried, I'm not talking about radio. I mean, when I'm out and about, I'm just a face in the crowd. And when I try to tell people that, mm-hmm. What I usually get is, they're too busy, or yeah, I know what you mean, but there's never any follow through. Even with people I know who know what business I'm in, when I've suggested this, oh yeah, I'm going to do that, and I'll see them a week or two later. Hey, did you check out? No, I haven't gotten to it yet. I'm just busy, man. I'm too busy. So. I'm thrilled that you have that kind of reaction. I don't get that.
Oh God, I'm really sorry then.
No, I don't get it at all. And maybe maybe it's the approach I use. Maybe I just get in people's faces to Too vocally, maybe it's your approach. Maybe you have a way of getting people inside people's heads. And I never make it past their eyeballs. I mean, I can't get inside somebody's head. I'm just too much of a screamer. Hold on a second. Just hold on a second. We'll come back and finish this up after the break.
Okay.
All right. Quick break. We'll be back. I'm Mike Malone.
Your host for a Piance Friance future, it's Mike Malloy.
26 before the hour, Prairie 2 emails in, Mike, we executed Japanese soldiers for waterboarding our people. A precedent we should continue. Okay. Yeah, I didn't know that. The Japanese did that and we executed them. And I had some half-wit called into this program, was going to defend waterboarding to me. All right, Deborah in Baltimore. Thanks for holding on. All right, where were we? Oh, that's right. You were telling me how you get people to question authority, or if not authority, certainly the way things are presented to them. And I just can't do that. I've never had any luck with that.
Well, as I've said to you in the past, and I will say to you again, you are the scream that I cannot speak on a daily basis, and I think. At least for me, the best way to kind of engage people in a different thought process, or at least kind of, you know, nudge them along into questioning, is to offer them, at the end of the day, you know, it is neither left-right, it's right-wrong, and that both parties are completely corrupt, and we really need a change in this country that's going to require, you know, a fresh approach and none of this, you know, false left-right, all controlled by the same bankers and, you know, global interests and corporations that we've had low these many years. And I think until that happens, you really can't hope for anything but what we're seeing now, where you've got the Democrats now in charge of both houses, making noises, but, you know, non-binding noises.
Yeah, non-binding, and this is off the table, and that's off the table. And as much as the questions today in the Senate Judiciary Committee laid bare the creepiness and the illegality of that this Attorney General promotes and sanctions, it also, for me, laid bare the lack of determination on the part of those Democratic senators to bring this son of a bitch to his knees. There were not questions or follow-up questions that I could hear where Gonzalez was just dragged across the coals for what he has recommended to this toy president, and that's very disturbing to me. But anyway, I hear what you're saying, Deborah. I'll continue to try, I'm sure. Okay.
Thank you, Mike, and thank you for being there, and thank you, Kathy, for her awesome stuff.
Okay, thanks, Deborah. Appreciate you checking in. Ah, now before I go back to your phone calls, there was one other thing. This was in this is in the paper last Saturday. For God's sakes, the senior Pentagon official in charge of military detainees, and that's a whole group of people in all the prison camps we've established around the planet. Cab drivers, farmers, opium poppy people, just whomever. The Bush crime family describes them as being suspected of terrorism. But that senior Pentagon official said in an interview last week that he was dismayed that lawyers at many of the nation's top law firms were representing prisoners at Guantanamo Bay, and that the same law firm's corporate clients should consider ending their business ties. Okay? It's not enough for these sons of bitches to destroy constitutional guarantees for, like, habeas corpus and First Amendment, Fourth Amendment, Fifth, Eighth, on and on and on. Now, the Pentagon, it's not enough that they can open our mail, look into our banking records, find out anything about us by bypassing any single law. Now the Pentagon is suggesting that these white shoe law firms that devote a part of their a practice to pro bono, no money, representing people who have been swept up by the Bush crime family. Now, this son of a bitch at the Pentagon is saying not only are these law firms somehow being un-American, but that their corporate clients should consider severing ties. This is unbelievable. The guy is Charles D. Stimson, Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for Detainee Affairs. His comments produced an instant torrent, it says in the New York Times, of anger from lawyers, legal ethics specialists, and Bar Association officials who said Friday that his comments were repellent and displayed an ignorance of the duties of lawyers to represent people in legal trouble. Stephen Gilders, a law professor at NYU and an authority on legal ethics, said, quote, "This is prejudicial to the administration of justice. It's possible that lawyers willing to undertake what has long been viewed as an admirable chore will decline to do so now for fear of antagonizing important clients. We have a senior government official," Giller said, "suggesting that representing these people somehow compromises American interests, and he even names the firms, giving a target to corporate America," end quote. Christ. This thug, Charles Stimson, made these remarks in an interview last Thursday on something called Federal News Radio. It's a local Washington-based station that's aimed at an audience of government employees. The same point appeared Friday on the editorial page of the Wall Street Journal, where Robert Pollack, a member of the newspaper's editorial board, cited the list of law firms and quoted an unnamed senior U.S. official as saying, quote, "Corporate CEOs seeking this should ask firms to choose between lucrative retainers and representing terrorists," end quote. Representing terrorists. These people have done nothing. They've been accused by the Bush crime family. Oh, my God. In the radio interview, Stimson went on to say, quote, "I think the news story that you're really going to start seeing in the next couple of weeks is this. As a result of a Freedom of Information Act request through a major news organization, somebody asked, who are the lawyers around this country representing detainees down there? And you know what? It's shocking." End quote. Now, this whole thing started because of some right-wing psychopathic bitch named Monica Crowley. A conservative talk show host. Oh, my God. It's always these rat bastards, isn't it, huh? It's always these rat bastards. So she filed the FOIA asking for the names of all the lawyers and law firms representing Guantanamo detainees in federal court cases. Then when she gets the information, she turns it over to Stimson, piece of human waste, who and Stimson is a lawyer. And Stimson went on to name more than a dozen of the firms listed in the report provided to this filthy piece of human waste, Monica Crowley, describing them as, quote, "the major law firms in this country," end quote. I can't take much more. These right wingers, I swear to God, when the lights do go out, oh, man. Oh, Jesus. I'll tell you. oh, man, is my list getting longer and longer. Karen Mathis, a Denver lawyer who is president of the American Bar Association, said, quote, "Lawyers represent people in criminal cases to fulfill a core American value, the treatment of all people equally before the law. To impugn those who are doing this critical work and doing it on a volunteer basis is deeply offensive." When asked in the radio interview who is paying for this legal representation, Mr. Stimson replied, quote, "Is it not clear? Some will maintain that they're doing it out of the goodness of their heart, that they're doing it pro bono, and I suspect they are. Others are receiving money from who knows where, and I'd be curious to have them explain that," end quote. Now, lawyers expressed outrage that at what he just said, asserting that they are not being paid, and that Mr. Stimson had tried to suggest they were by innuendo. Of the approximately 500 lawyers coordinated by the Center for Constitutional Rights, no one is being paid. Not one. That's according to Michael Ratner, who heads the Center for Constitutional Rights, New York-based human rights group that is coordinating the legal representation for the Guantanamo detainees. 500 lawyers from 120 law firms volunteering their service to try to preserve what's left of the U.S. Constitution and the rule of law. Yesterday, Mr. Stimson issued an apology published in the Washington Post. The apology said, quote, "Regrettably, my comments left the impression that I question the integrity of those engaged in the zealous defense of detainees in Guantanamo. I do not. I apologize for what I said, and to those lawyers and law firms who are representing clients at Guantanamo, and I hope that my record of public service makes clear that those comments I made do not reflect my core beliefs." End quote. Ah, you pig. Michael Ratner again, the president of the Center for Constitutional Rights, said, after the outcry, what could Stimson do except apologize? But sadly, his remarks were part of a policy that was approved at the highest levels. Ratner went on to say, this is demonstrated by Gonzalez's fallacious claim that the Guantanamo lawyers are responsible for delaying the trials of Guantanamo detainees because they're represented by lawyers. They're holding up the trials. And by his attacks on judges who have said Guantanamo detainees have rights. My God!
Well, this is evident, yeah. In the American way, you must give and I shall take. I will tell you what is moral and what's just. Because I want, because I will, because I can.
Making the pie higher, it's more of Mike Malloy.
10 before the hour. Since that article appeared last Friday in the New York Times, there was several responses in the Times editorial page over the past couple of days. Here's one. This is from Lawrence Pilofsky in Missouri, who is a lawyer. Charles Stimson, the Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for Detainee Affairs, who said that he was dismayed that lawyers at many of the nation's top firms were representing prisoners at Guantanamo and that the firm's corporate clients should consider ending their business ties, may understand the constitutional concept of free speech, but he certainly does not understand the nature of our judicial system. That includes the concept that one is presumed innocent until proved guilty, that people charged with crimes have the right to legal counsel, that legal counsel should present the very best defense possible, and that these constitutional concepts and rights protect all of us from the arbitrariness of government. What is the purpose of bringing democracy to Iraq if we destroy it at home? What are our soldiers fighting for if not to protect our society and the, quote, rule of law, end quote? This is astonishing to me. We are literally watching the birth of a uniquely American form of fascism, brought about by George Bush and his administration. It's incredible. It's incredible. And you can't turn away from it. Oh, you can turn away if you want to, but eventually it devours your ass. Here's another one. This is from Thomas Sullivan in Chicago. My partners and I at Jenner & Block are proud of the pro bono work our lawyers do, including our representation of prisoners held at Guantanamo. I've defended men and women accused of murder, rape, child molestation, organized criminal activities, people called before a subcommittee of the House Un-American Activities Committee, judges and lawyers charged with various deviations from the path of righteousness, and many others who, as one of my clients used to say, are not candidates for immediate canonization. This is the first time in more than 50 years of practicing that anyone has suggested that there is something untoward about my representing people accused of these offenses, even those who are guilty. And then this, a retired government lawyer, Solomon Kornblau, writing from Delray Beach, Florida. I almost died fighting for our freedoms at the Battle of Leyte Gulf in World War II. One of those freedoms was, and still is, the right to counsel. The president claims that he is fighting for freedom and democracy in Iraq, but with the Deputy Assistant Defense Secretary Charles Stimson's new McCarthy-like tactics against law firms, on top of reading private mail, tapping phones, imprisoning individuals indefinitely, I see those freedoms rapidly slipping away here at home. Just as corporate chief executives who backdate stock options are entitled to legal representation, so too are those imprisoned at Guantanamo, many of whom have yet to be even charged with a crime. At age 91, I can fight for democracy only with this letter. I challenge the law firms to continue the fight for our democracy here at home and urge all lawyers to join them. This is incredible. You want to know what the problem is? This was on Bart Kopp's website, and Dr. Dolph sent it to me. War profiteers. Since the Iraq invasion, 3.5 years, almost 4 years ago, the defense contractor stock. This is how the numbers have gone up. United Technologies, their stock is up 116%. Northrop Grumman, their stock is up 57%. Raytheon, their stock is up 73%. Boeing, their stock is up 256%. Rockwell Collins, their stock is up 240%. General Dynamics, their stock is up 186%. Lockheed Martin, their stock is up 106%. Halliburton, their stock is up 233%. By comparison, the Dow Jones Index Fund is up 58%. And I'll tell you again, if you don't go to the BartKopp.com website, you're missing out on a lot of this stuff. There are wonderful websites all over the place. But Bart Kopp has this uncanny way of putting a million words into about 30. War profiteers. And the guy who sent that in was named James. Into Bart Kopp. Jesus God. It really gets difficult sometimes, doesn't it, Truth Seeker, to not feel that you're in this all by yourself, which tends to make a person say to hell with it. You know, I can't. What's the old saying? I can't fight City Hall. But it's so difficult. I realize there are a lot of online communities, a lot of non-online communities, people that get face-to-face, anti-war groups that are trying to get mobilized for what's coming up January 27th and February 27th and March 27th and April, because it's just going to take, I don't know, we talked about this last night, or I talked about it, millions of us are going to have to take to the streets. I don't know what else to do. I honestly believed that the Democrats, when they got power back, when they responded to the will of the American public, when the American public said, we don't want this filthy war, we don't want this, we don't want what the Bush crime family is doing, we really, really, really don't want this. It was my hope. If I were a praying person, it would have been my fervent prayer that the Democrats would bring this madness to an end. And now I the first thing I hear, even before the Congress is seated, is that Pelosi and Reid say that impeachment's off the table. for some reason about they don't want to lose their power in 2008. And as if it were up to them, the Constitution demands impeachment. This son of a bitch is violating the law every single day. Every day. And now I hear Nancy Pelosi say that she's going to go ahead and not impede the funding of another 22,000 American troops into this meat grinder. Oh, man. Oh, man. All right, your phone calls when we come back. I'm Mike Malloy. Welcome back. It's about 7 past. If you haven't gone to unreportednews.net yet, please do and read the story there by Sergeant's a Iraq War veteran. You know, please, just do it. Okay, please. All right. One last thing. There is some doo-doo hitting the fan between Bush and Maliki. Have you heard about it today? And this tepid, cowardly, pissy media that we have in this country is just barely reporting it. The fact is that Maliki, who is about as interested in having Bush as a coalition partner as I am in getting throat cancer, has decided he's had enough of this bastard. So now not only have the American people and the American military and the people of Iraq, and now Maliki is saying that he's sick of Bush, he's sick of the condescending statements from Condoleezza Rice, he's sick of having his country inhabited by this military run by people who don't give a tinker's damn about the fact that 36,000 Iraqi civilians were butchered last year. See, he's had enough. So now what he's saying, and this is in the British press, it's not in the American press, the Iraqi prime minister said yesterday that America's refusal to give Baghdad's security forces sufficient guns and equipment has cost a great number of lives. Nouri al-Maliki said the insurgency has been bloodier and prolonged because Washington had refused to part with equipment. If it released the necessary arms, U.S. forces could, quote, dramatically, end quote, cut their numbers in 3 to 6 months, he told The Times. The Times of London, I believe. In a sign of the tense relations with Washington, he chided the U.S. for suggesting his government was living on borrowed time. That's what Rice said the other day. Such criticism boosts Iraq's extremists, he said, and was more of a reflection of some kind of a crisis situation in Washington after the Republicans' midterm election losses. Mr. al-Maliki conceded that his administration had made mistakes over the hanging of Hussein, but he refused to accept all criticism over the execution. When asked about the Italian Prime Minister Romano Prodi's attack on Iraq's capital punishment laws, Mr. al-Maliki cited the Italian summary killing of Benito Mussolini and his stringing up from a lamppost. Oh, Jesus. Asked how long Iraq would require U.S. troops, Mr. al-Maliki said, quote, if we succeed in implementing the agreement between us to speed up the equipping and providing weapons to our military forces, I think that within 3 to 6 months, our need for American troops will dramatically go down. That is on condition, he added, that there are real, strong efforts to support our military forces and equipping and arming them, end quote. Now, this article goes on. But you know, once again, somebody is delusional here. Is it Maliki? And I don't give a goddamn about Maliki. I don't care if he lines up with the Mahdi army and Muqtada al-Sadr and decides to kill every Sunni inside his pretend country. And I don't give a goddamn about the Sunnis. I don't care if they line up and decide to kill every Shia inside their pretend country. I don't care! It's not my business. It's their business. What I do care about is the fact that over 3,000 American soldiers now have been butchered in this meat grinder that Bush created. And that this unconscionable bastard is sending another 20,000 troops in his escalation of this war. That's what I care about. I am a cold-hearted son of a bitch. I don't care about the Shia and the Sunni in Iraq. I care about my people. I care about Americans. I care about that my constitution is being gutted. My military is being destroyed. My system of self-government is being eaten away by rats. Republican rats. That's what I care about. Yeah, I am one cold-hearted son of a bitch. I don't care. Like the bumper sticker that the smart-ass right-wingers have, kill them all. Let God sort them out. I just don't care. I don't care anymore because I know why we're there, and it has nothing to do with democracy. It has nothing to do with freedom or democratic system of government. It has nothing to do with constitutionality. It has nothing to do with anything except Bush's insanity and the greed of these pig bastards who run this country. That's what it has to do with. And you know it, and I know it, and we all know it. And we have to play these goddamn games all day long. With this Wolf Blitzer jerk and these people on CBS and ABC and NBC all day long. Let's play the game. Let's get before the Senate committee and ask this question and that question and let this weaselly Gonzalez sit there and squirm and smarm and condescend his way out of it. That's what we're about. Oh, and 38 million of us will watch American Idol. Sick of it. Jesus, God, I'm sick of it. So there you have it. Al-Maliki says, give us the guns and go home. Well, give them the guns. We're about exporting death and weaponry and bombs and bullets. That's our major export in this country. We are the biggest danger to the human race in the history of the human race. So goddamn it, go ahead and do it. Do it. Just do it. And my Democratic Party has now reduced itself to a boot-licking group of poseurs, sneaks, cowards. Jesus. I think about those 2 years at Air America where most of us just busted our ass trying to get Democrats elected. That was the only purpose for, that's the only truthful thing that the pig man ever said. That was the only reason for Air America to even be in existence, as far as those of us on the air were concerned. I'm not talking about the corporate pissants who tried to run it and have run it into the ground and bankrupted it. I'm talking about those of us who are on the air, most of us. Night after night, day after day, putting candidates on the air, anti-war candidates, people who, the veterans, just pushing and pushing and pushing. And to the extent that Air America and those of us who are on the air succeeded, you're damn right I'll take credit for it. And so will the other people at Air America if they're honest. You're damn right we were instrumental in helping this. And this is what we get back. Oh, we're not gonna not fund the escalation. And if these six sons of bitches want to send 500,000 troops, I'm Nancy Pelosi, and we're not going to not fund another 500,000 or another million or another 2 million or 5 million. So this is what we've been handed. This is what we've been given. Now, I'll ask the question again. What are you going to do about it? And it's a thought question. I'm not asking you to call up here and give me an answer. I'm not asking you to email me. What are you going to do about it? And if you do decide really and truly what you're going to do about it, please, for Christ's sake, email me so it'll help me maybe understand what I'm going to do about it. Because I have no idea. I have no idea. I don't know what to do. You heard Gonzalez? You heard this Stimson freak? You hear Bush? You hear Cheney? What do you call this if you don't call it fascism?
There's a lot of speculation that these reports in Washington mean there's going to be some kind of graceful exit out of Iraq. We're going to stay in Iraq to get the job done.
Oh, man. Okay, I guess right about this point in the program, I'm supposed to, take a chill pill. And calm down and say to people who are still listening after that last screaming tirade, I'm supposed to say, okay, listen, I lost it there. I'm sorry. All my potty mouth and screaming and yelling, that's what I'm supposed to say. You know what? I'm not going to say it. If this program is too hot, too intense for you, then get the hell out of town. Go listen somewhere else. Go listen to those freaks in Sacramento that suggest that people drink water until they drown. Go listen to, was that Sacramento? Was it Portland? I don't even care. Listen to these right-wingers. You know, if this program and my profanity, my screaming is too intense for you, go listen to the right-wingers. They'll keep you asleep until they come around and cut your goddamn throat, okay? And then laugh while you bleed all over yourself. That's what. So, no, I'm not going to apologize, but I am going to shut up and I'm going to take your phone calls. So, let's start with Kevin in Reno, Nevada. Hey, Kevin.
Yeah, hi. I wouldn't say that... That screed bothered me that much.
I didn't hear that. Say it again. Say it again.
Think that screed, that your last little bit, bothered me that much at all, one way or another. I'm sorry. I'm sitting in my car now to keep my cell phone going. I think what really bothered me was earlier in the show, you played clips. I'm a liberal Democrat. And I'm a leftist Democrat. I mean, I'm more liberal than any Democrat I know, at least any elected official. Right. And what I heard of all the clips you played was music to my ears. It was everything that I wanted to hear for the last 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
And yet you freaked out.
Right.
And then you freaked out again. And, right. You know, you're kind of like the bore at the party. You're like the guy who has your agenda and you're all freaked out. And you corner people, you know, like a part of the party, and you rant at them, and it's kind of like it's a little weird when, as far as I'm concerned, everything that I heard, it seems to me the only thing that would have satisfied you is if Dianne Feinstein got up and shot Gonzalez in the head during the hearing. that was the only thing that would satisfy you. Other than that, it's all fake, and they're all false, and it's all unfair, and it's all not right, and what's all going on? You're a bore. You're a bore. And I don't mean, like, boring. You know what I mean. You know what a bore is. You're boorish. I mean, you're angry at them doing exactly what they should have done for the last 6 years and freaking out about it. You're like a guy nobody wants to get near because you got, you know, it's not that you're intense. I'm intense. I've been very intense for 6 years, but now I'm hearing things that I wanted to hear. And you seem upset that they did not draw and quarter Gonzalez right there, you know, tear him apart with horses. Why didn't they do that? Well, they're not going to do that, Tom. Sorry. I'm sorry. They're not going to do that. That isn't going to happen. Here's what's going to happen. They're going to have hearings. They're going to tear these guys apart. And they're doing it, and we're listening to them do it. And you played them doing it. It was the greatest. Your show was better than all the shows I listened to. I listened to a little bit of Bennett today. I listened to I listened to a lot of different shows today, a little bit of them. And yours was the best because you kept playing clips of this hearing, which I hadn't heard all of or as much of. And it was great. And each time you ended going by, see what? This is what we've been asking for. Oversight. Call them to carpet. Let the American people see what kind of bastards these people are. This is great. And you would seem upset. I don't get it. I'm sorry. I wish I want to like your show. You're on my station. It's what I listen to in the evening, and I don't want to turn to music. I want to listen to you. But if you're going to be mad when they're doing the right thing, it's like I said, it's boorish. It's just a boorish. It's like the guy who's just a blundering, you know, screaming lunatic.
And okay, well, Kevin, listen, thanks. I appreciate you checking in. Thanks for your comments. You have a nice evening. Blake is calling from San Francisco. Blake, welcome. Oh, Blake, hold on. We got to take a break. We'll come back and get you after the break. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is NOVAM Radio.
In the strangest way, come on,
six before the hour. You know, I really don't have that much to say about that last caller. I really don't. You know, he can vent if he considers me to be boorish in my reaction to what the senators said today. That's fine. I mean, but as I just gotten an email from one of our regular emailers. What I just got in an email from one of our regular emailers, that caller is the type who, when they come for him in the middle of the night, he'll piss all over himself when they load him onto the train. You know, the Democrats who unloaded today on Gonzalez, half of my rage was about the Democrats, or 40%, 60% was on the answers that were being given, the half-answers, the non-answers given by Gonzalez. And regardless of what the caller said, no, I don't want Feinstein to get up and put a bullet in his head. What I want Feinstein to do, or Leahy, or Kennedy, or anybody on that committee to do, is to sit there and say, Mr. Gonzalez, you're a liar. Mr. Gonzalez, you're a liar. Mr. Gonzalez, you do know what the answer is. You're avoiding the answer. No, I want them to do, I want these Democrats to do what I expect from members of a political party who surely must understand, at least to the extent that I do, that the Bush administration is destroying us. Now, when you're watching your country go down in flames, when you're watching your Constitution being shredded, when you are surrounded by right-wing noise, no matter where you turn, when you're in that position, and finally, because the Democratic Party has gotten control of the House and the Senate, they can now order these weaselly sons of bitches to come up to the Hill and sit before them, then I don't expect these candy-ass questions and all the posturing that is going on with the questions from the Democratic senators. Either they're in this for real or they're not. And what I heard today, regardless of what my caller thought, is a clear indication to me that they are not. This was theater. Now, when the hearing is over, the Democratic senators can retire to the cloakroom and pat each other on the ass and say, well, we really gave him what for, didn't we? And in the meantime, the rat bastard who is now the attorney general will go back into the hovel, the hole, the command bunker where these worms exist and continue to do his damage. So, no, I'm call me boorish, whatever you want. If what you heard today satisfies you, like I said, when they come for you to put you on the train because you identified yourself on the radio now as a liberal, your ass has been noticed, pal. And when they come for you, you'll be the one who stands back urinating all down your pant leg while the rest of us are trying to figure out some way to kill the sons of bitches that are trying to load us into the boxcars. But if you want to call me boorish, go right ahead. I understand your frustration. I call these Democrats sons of bitches because they do not have the courage, apparently, most of them, to have a witness in front of them like Gonzalez and go down the list. We've had 6 years of this, and I realize that the Gonzalez has only been there since that psychopathic, religious, nutball, Christian fascist Ashcroft left to become a lobbyist. So we've only had this guy for a couple of years. But that doesn't make any difference. The Bush crime family has destroyed one more thing, the office of the Attorney General. They have made a mockery of law in this country. There is no law in this country. Now, if you're satisfied, sir, with the tepid little questions asked by these senators, okay. Okay, baby steps. Baby steps. When the rest of us are going to the barricades, though, because our goddamn country is being stolen from us, where are you going to be? You're going to be in front of your television set, aren't you, going, oh, good, go, Senator Kennedy. Go ahead, ask him another question while the rest of us are involved in a... Oh, Jesus. Here I go again. Here I go again. I understand your stress, sir. I really do. I know you're freaked out. I know you're freaked out. I know you're freaked out. I really do. I don't know. Do whatever you need to do to survive. If what you need to do is to call this program and call me boorish, okay, I'll take that. I'll take that. I don't want you to completely lose it and pick up your rifle if you are smart enough to have one or six or 20 in your house. I don't want you to pick up your rifle and freak out and run into the street shooting innocent passersby. See, so if I can defuse your obvious rage, and it really came through. I don't know if you're aware of this. It's just you've done the safe thing, and that's cool. You focused your rage on me. And that's fine. That's okay. I mean, whatever gets you through the night, pal, whatever helps you get from this moment through your day tomorrow, and then tomorrow you can figure out how to handle your rage some other way. I don't know what you do. I don't know if you're married. I don't know if you have a cat you kick. I don't know if you have, I don't know if you're religion, if you pray to Jesus to save your ass. I have no idea what you do. But if part of your regimen is calling this program because you are so freaked out to understand what has happened to us in the past 6 years, that the only outlet you have, the only way you can express it, the only thing you feel safe in doing is calling this program and calling me boorish, I'll accept that. Let's go back to the phones. Stephen is calling from Minnesota. Stephen, welcome to the program.
Hi.
Hey.
I'd like to say thank you for doing what you do. You know, you express your feelings and everything else like a true American, right? And I'd like to say, don't hold this against me. I don't hold against you that you're a liberal or anything. But I'm a Republican, but I still admire you for who you are and what you're doing right now. You're persuading people, maybe not even trying to persuade people, but you're doing a good job speaking your mind, and I appreciate that because I'm enlisted in the National Guard. I fight for freedom, and right now you're expressing the freedom of speech, and
well,
I really appreciate
you. Let me ask you, Stephen, what freedom are you fighting for, and where are you fighting for it?
I understand where you're coming from.
No, just answer the question. Don't
okay.
don't pull an Alberto Gonzalez on me. Come on. Just be normal, okay? Let's just you and I try to be normal. Where are you fighting for freedom, and how do you define that freedom?
Currently, I'm in North Korea, and I'm protecting our country from getting bombed.
And how are you doing that?
I launch patriotic missiles.
Excuse me?
I launch patriot missiles.
And
destroy enemy targets.
You launch Patriot missiles?
Yes.
And are you calling from North Korea?
Yes, with my cell phone.
And what did you call them, patriotic missiles?
Patriot missiles. I call them patriotic.
Get rid of them. Get out of here, Stephen, you goddamn phony. Get off my program, patriotic missiles. Get out of here. He's calling from North Korea like I'm doing the program from Iceland. Jesus God. Yeah, I launched patriotic missiles. Oh, do you really? Okay. Marge is calling from Indiana. Hey, Marge.
You are in fine voice tonight, my friend.
No, I'm just freaking out. I watched this stuff on the internet today.
Oh, jeez.
And I mean my brain's liquefied, and this afternoon when I'm shaking my head, I get brain leakage from what I'm seeing.
I can't imagine why that would happen. I mean, these people are so honest and straightforward, and golly gee, they're gonna pass a resolution and don't mean a damn thing, but by golly, you're gonna pass a resolution.
Yeah.
And then things are gonna go back to being just exactly the way they were. But that's not why I called.
Okay.
Today's the fifth anniversary of Minot, North Dakota. If I remind you of what happened there, I'm sure you'll remember when we're talking about the media.
Now, wait a second. Minot, North Dakota.
A train derailed.
Yeah, and it was carrying...
It was carrying whatever the hell it was carrying, and they were trying to notify the local people. But all they had on the local radio was Clear Channel. Remember that?
Oh, okay. That was 5 years ago?
Yep. Well, I'm going by what I heard on the radio today. So, you know, if my facts are
wrong,
excuse me. But
yeah.
That's what they were saying, because there's a new book out. I haven't bought it yet, but I'm going to.
Yeah.
It's called Fighting for Airtime, The Battle for Control of the American Media. There's still a battle going on. I thought they already took it over.
Hey, hold on, Marge. Hold on. Let me put
all
you
right,
on hold.
All right, don't lose
me. We'll come. Well, just hold
on. The last
on.
Time you did that, you went away.
Hold on, Marge. We'll be right back. This is Nova M. I'm Mike Malloy.
Did you have a sleepless night? Can I introduce a catheter? Siphon up your life. We'll be right back.
10 before the hour. Thanks to Ian Huff, who engineered the program in Phoenix and also answered your calls. And Ian has to listen to the entire program, all 3 hours of it. Jesus, he must have ears made out of porcelain. Chris in Minnesota is our senior correspondent. Thanks to Mark Marshall and the moderators at MikeMalloy.com. Ben Birch, White Rose Society archives the program. Go to NovaMradio.com for all sorts of fun and frivolity. And again, Sarge asked me to mention unreportednews.net and read the article there by the specialist who has been in Iraq. Read what he has to say. Please do that. Okay, back to Marge in Indiana. I didn't lose you. I'm here.
By golly, technology worked.
Yeah, it did, didn't it?
No, I don't know if he wrote the book, but he was pushing it on Channel 11 tonight. And Eric Kleinenberg, K-L-I-N-E-N-B-E-R-G, talked about fighting for airtime.
Oh, yeah.
And the thing that went on in Minot, North Dakota, that just blows my mind. I mean, whatever was on that train, it wasn't perfume. And they couldn't contact the local radio stations to alert the...
Because they were all automated, yeah.
Everything was automated.
Right.
And there's something new called freepress. All right, look at it. Freepress.net.
Uh-huh.
That's also along with Move On that is, you know, trying to go back and take over the airwaves.
That's like, you know, uninventing the atomic bomb. Nobody's going to go back and take over anything. And you
pushing
know
the genie back in the bottle. You think we will?
Yeah, it's just simply not going to happen. What is we've got to rely on the geeks to come up with alternative forms of media and communication, and they're working on it. As one of the callers pointed out tonight, the internet.
They did manage to keep that free so far. I mean, but God knows they're trying.
Yeah, I know. But before
I let you go, there's one other topic that came across my it came to my attention yesterday, and a little bit more today.
Okay.
That in the last, I don't know when exactly it took place. The Ministry of Education from the People's Republic of China. You got that?
Yeah.
God knows I'm for education and communication and all that good stuff.
Right.
But these folks have donated $500,000 to the Chicago Public Schools to teach the students in Chicago the Chinese language starting with second grade.
Well, that's...
Now, like I said, you know, I'm all for education, but there's something about that that just kind of makes my head swim.
Well, it'll be easier when the Chinese come here and issue orders. It'll be easier for us to understand, and they'll have to shoot less of us.
God, help us all. I just had to tell you that. I don't know, you know, And they wonder why you get a tad upset when these people sit in the halls of Congress and they open their mouths, and they make speeches, and the next day, everything's exactly the same crap that it was the day before. And you notice, please, that I clean that up.
Yeah, I know.
Surge is the new S word.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
Oh, my God. Well...
Do you know how to fire a gun?
Well, I did a couple of times, but it was a long time ago. I think I don't know.
A rifle or a handgun or a shotgun or what?
I think I could find which end to point. Yeah. Are you suggesting I arm myself?
I just wondered. I'm going to start asking people that periodically if they know how to fire a weapon, and if they know how to take care of it. And I'm just curious.
That I'd have to learn. And you know,
yeah.
I've seen. Where they take these long
bullets?
Q-tip type things and clean out the barrel and like that and whatever, oil up and you know that kind of stuff.
Right.
But I've never actually done it,
I just wondered if you'd ever had occasion, Marge, in you know maybe
shot a couple of tin cans is what I did.
Yeah, you know, plinking tin cans or shooting varmints or Republicans or you know whatever. whatever.
There's a difference between varmints and Republicans. My land, Goshen.
Whatever wanders across the landscape out there in northeastern Indiana, northwestern Indiana.
Yeah.
But okay, well, that kind of answers my question.
It hadn't been a while, but I suppose maybe I ought to think about taking up the sport.
Yeah.
Well, you
might.
But. Oh,
or you can learn how to fire a patriotic missile.
Now, there you go.
Marge, I got to move on.
There you go. Take care, my friend. Stay warm.
I definitely will. I definitely will. You too. Take care. Patriotic missile. Where are you calling from? North Korea? Yeah. Oh, you're in North Korea. Yeah, I'm calling on my cell phone. Jesus, God. Do we sound that stupid on this program that some little twit like that is going to tell me he's in North Korea and he fires patriotic missiles?
You should have asked him what time it was.
Yeah, right.
That would have been funny.
What day, what planet he's calling from. We don't have time to take any more of your phone calls. I'm sorry. I'm leaving an awful lot of people on hold here. I really apologize. Blake in San Francisco, if you call back tomorrow, I'll put you on first. Because you've been holding on for a considerable amount of time. Are they having any hearings tomorrow? I don't know. We'll probably not. It's Friday. But tomorrow night at 9:30 or 10:30 Eastern? 10:30? Will Pitt will be on the program. Will Rivers Pitt. A lot of you know who he is. You know him. This should be interesting. So hope to see you tomorrow night. Thanks for participating in tonight's program. I do appreciate it, however you did that. Take care, okay? Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio.